and welcome to episode 13 of The Two Tones. Good to see you, Tony DeBolfo.
Lovely to be here, Tone. Lovely to see you. Great to be back.
We are at episode 13, so we are obliged to, of course, mention 1995 Premiership scourge of the half-back line. Tell me if I got that wrong. Milan Ham, or the wing.
The wing. Great player, Mill, wasn't he? A great man, born in Lebanon and followed his football dream here to the Royal Parade. And what a player he was. And, you know, still around the place. Mine hosted the Fitz,
in Carlton. Head on down there. Mention the Two Tones for a 100% discount. See how you go.
He'd probably throw a Liam Shazlik at you, Tony, if you mention that. But no, it's look, he's a great man. He still follows Carlton with a passion, you know, like all of us, wants to see the team up and about. We've been waiting a while, but however, it's a work in progress. But yes, the number 13, also worn in some exhilarating outings for the Carlton Football Club by Chris Yaron.
Yes. Very exciting player.
Wasn't he an exciting player? Unfortunately, the career was all too short, but a great footballer nonetheless. And also, if you go back a little bit in time, Tone, we're talking about Chuka Howell, a great player through the wartime years and beyond. Great ruckman for Carlton, who played in the Premiership, as did his son Scott in 1981, doing that great job on Peter Moore, I think, when we knocked Collingwood over again.
That is God's work. Beating Collingwood in a premiership is God's work. Now, Tone, in the meantime, we had a very special edition of the Two Tones last week where you had a fireside chat.
Yes, I did, with the great Wayne Johnston. It was fabulous to talk to him about his life and times, Tony, given that he, you know, was acknowledged with his induction into the Australian Rules Hall of Fame. An honour well-deserved and long overdue, but it was actually fabulous to hear Wayne Johnston talk about how it all started and that it didn't come easy, you know, and when you think of how dominant a player he was through that golden era of Carlton history, somewhat surprising to hear him say that it didn't come easy to him in the first instance, even though he dominated back at Wandon. He had a couple of goes. I think he had one go at Carlton and failed and was quite prepared to go back to Wandon, was seconded to Paran and then played that magnificent grand final against Preston, I think, in 78. And then found himself back at the club after Alex Jezelenko refused Melbourne's request to let him have a run with the Red League. So, you know, football can... the journey can take you on so many different tangents and... it's not always a smooth road, but Wayne Johnston, he found a way, and what a footballer he was.
Well, you can just add that to the very, very long list of great things Alex Jezelenko has done for the Carlton Football Club. Now, Tone, Sydney, in the meantime, Carlton travelled to Sydney.
Yes.
And half-time, crikey, we were still in, I reckon about halfway through the third quarter... Sydney seemed to put the jets on. But we kicked our way out of it. Four set shots at goal. Now, when you think the margin was roughly five goals, it was over five goals, and to miss four eminently gettable shots on goal in the third quarter, I mean, yes, we lost. Nobody likes losing. But for Carlton's persistence and you could see self-belief out there. Carlton were in the game for the great majority of it.
Very true, Tony. And the young players can only learn from experiences involving these hard-edged, players at Sydney that have obviously been to the mountaintop. They've tasted premiership success, many of them. And I suppose when you look at the game in isolation... there were moments in the game, as you've said, you know, some really heartening moments and then moments where it did fall away, which seems to be symptomatic of the Carlton model circa 2018. There are great glimpses. And I think when you look at it in that context, you always think back to, I suppose, Brendan Bolton's prophecy that there was going to be peaks and troughs, that you are going to see moments of brilliance interspersed with moments where perhaps... you know, there's a fall away in whatever it might be, concentration or just nous, football nous experience. I suppose it's a learning curve for all of the players, the young players, and Yes, there were moments in the game for sure, as there were at Geelong, you know, when we played them down the highway. So there are glimpses, aren't there? There are little moments in games where you think, oh, that's great, you know, and we just want to see more moments. We are greedy, aren't we? But
well, and look, we have every right to be, I think personally. You look at Liam Jones and some bright spark had the idea, well, surface, you know, he's not flourishing in the forward line, let's put him in the back line. Somebody had the bright spark.
You know, there's a lot of body-on-body contact.
Why don't we put a Merlin in it? And then you've got a Silvani's traditionally a strong body players. Now,
really relished the opportunity to, you know, to Sydney. Throw himself into the heat, and of course he'd done his time. You know, like so many players of his generation, his age have, and to his credit, he came back and probably played one of his better games for the Carlton Football Club.
Yeah,
he was absolutely superb, particularly in that first half. The way he really led by example, and look. You know, maybe his second half did fall away somewhat, but it wasn't unique to him. There are a lot of players that did sort of taper, and that's just unfortunately part of life at the moment. But I thought he was fabulous in the way he really, you know, attacked the contest. And that's what we want to see in all of our players. You know, win, lose or draw, we want them having a crack. And if they do that, well, you can't be too critical.
Well, there was, I think, one, maybe two from memory, very composed set shots on goal where he looked every inch the mature footballer. He didn't seem fazed at all by the pressure. The other thing, too, was the number of players who ran from all points of the ground, especially Daisy, who just, you know, congratulated him, you know, very affectionate rub of the head. I may be reading too much into this, but there was a great camaraderie and a willingness for Jack to do well in the team.
A fair call, Tony. And I think that little example that you've given to illustrate your argument is actually symptomatic of the group. You know, yes, it's been a tough haul, it really has, but the players, just those little glimpses that you highlight prove that they are in this together, and they are as one, and they're working their way through it together, and they'll all come out the other end better for these experiences. And Daisy's had a great year, it has to be said, and Jack, yeah, just love the way he showed nous and poise and really, you know, the right stuff to really attack the game of footy as he did. So, look, there are a lot of pleasing signs. There were, and we just want to keep seeing more and more of them. And hopefully, the challenge for Jack now is to back that up.
Yes,
because you really have to maximise your opportunities.
Well, he did seem like he was grasping that opportunity with both hands.
Well, very true. And I think the message that Brendan Bolton has sent to this group is that there are no free games, and the players know that if they don't perform, they'll be put back pretty smartly. And people that are back in the twos realise there's an opportunity to get a game if you perform. So there are no free games anymore, and I do like that, because that's setting a standard to which all players should really adhere. And I just like what I saw in that particular game, and it was a great example you made about Silvani and Dale Thomas.
Let's talk about two players in particular, Liam Jones and Sam Kerridge. Sam Kerridge's form lately, he's been a fascinating player to watch, I think, because he's playing for a permanent spot. He's, I don't know how I put this, he's not a spring chicken.
No.
But he's hard at it, and like I say, he's good to watch.
Well, you know, and in Mark Murphy's absence and also Kennedy's, I think it's obviously vitally important that someone like Cripps has some protection.
Yeah.
And I think Kerridge is one of those players does put his head over the ball and really attacks the contest, and he brings experience as well, which we need. So I think in the scheme of things, Kerridge's presence is extremely vital right now. You know, we need a big body, smart, experienced player around the contest to help out, because I mean, you know, looking at Cripps running out onto the SCG, I mean, it was he looked mummified, didn't he? The way the way he was wrapped up, and we don't want to see our preeminent footballer banged up, you know, as often as he tends to be. I know he plays a physical game and probably relishes that, but we do have to be protective, I think, of a player that is just so ferocious in the, yeah. the contest as Cripps is.
The umpires certainly aren't. But anyway, that little editorial courtesy of yours truly. Liam Jones in the back line.
Well, you mentioned earlier what a revelation he's been there. And look, I think when we last went to air, I'd refer to some comments that Liam Jones had made about the disappointing game he had on Franklin the previous year.
Yeah, yeah.
And how, you know, how he it was so important to him to make amends for that contest. And if you see the way he played Franklin this time around, it was the intercepts, you know, the capacity to thwart or repel a Sydney attack. He got his timing right and he got where the ball was in the old vernacular. He just seemed to make position beautifully on every time that the ball came down to that defensive half of the ground.
Well, just a point, Tone, I think Franklin's first two goals came from free kicks that were probably
there.
Off the play.
Yes, yes.
And were, how do I put this charitably, where at least one of them was a real head-scratcher.
Yes, well, no, that's true, you know, and so no fault of Liam's, as you rightly point out. But I just think he was fabulous there in his capacity to rebound, you know, and take those intercept marks. And it was an interesting observation someone made that Liam had spent probably 5 or 6 minutes of the first period after the break on the bench, which was a little bit mystifying given the way he played, but I guess there are rotations and everyone's working to a plan. In saying that, I thought he was fabulous in the way he attacked the ball, and it's a great football story, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the Cinderella man, he was on the scrap heap, and suddenly someone says, yeah, put him back, goes back and you know, has never looked back, basically, from the time that he went there. So all power to him. Let's hope it continues.
Amen to that. Well, it was an enthralling game to watch. Certainly at half-time, I felt like an upset was looming. The third quarter was disappointing again because of those misset shots. But
yes.
Like I say, deep into the third quarter, Carlton was still in it. Sydney, well, there was maybe a note of panic in their play. But there was a lot of positives to take away from it.
Yes.
And certainly I know Brendan Bolton's demeanour in the press conference afterwards was not that of a crushed or beaten man.
No.
He was very upbeat about it.
Well, I just think that, you know, they were pretty honest. As I say, there were moments in the game and I guess moments where they did fall away, as you've said. But by and large, where Carlton is this particular stage of its genesis, I suppose, resurgence, these sorts of little lapses are to be expected. We don't like them, we don't want them, but it's a reality. With every game, with every quarter that these players play, they learn so much and they're better for the experience. So let's hope we see more consistency of performance as the weeks, you know, push on.
I'm into that. The trend line is heading north. That's my mantra.
Yes.
The trend line is heading north. Now, Tone, you watched the game, of course.
I did.
We need three votes from you.
Well, okay. And you've, great minds think alike, Tone. You've pretty much covered the bases here with your assessment of the players that played well. However, I did give one vote to the evergreen Cade Simpson.
Oh, yes.
You know, the fellow shows no signs of slowing up. Body on the line week in, week out.
Yeah.
How does he do it? I don't know. He's just been a great footballer for the Carlton Club. All power to you, Simo. Long may it continue. Two votes to Jack Silvani. Probably his best game for Carlton, I would say.
Yeah, terrific.
Yeah, great in that first half in particular. And coming back from the twos, fabulous to really make the most of the opportunity presented. And to Liam Jones, three votes. Fabulous game as a rebounding defender and really took it up to Franklin and came back so hard after the disappointment of last year on Franklin, which was obviously at the forefront of his mind going into this contest. So good signs for Carlton. One evergreen in there, but one young player in the mix and also a player now in Liam Jones is probably nearing the absolute zenith of his playing career. So power to you, boys.
Somebody has to take Patrick Cripps aside and say, you did not score a vote on the two times this week. Who's going to break that news to him?
It is something of a rarity, isn't
it?
I'd like to see less bandages on the boy, you know. In fact, thinking about it now, look, I guess we needed him out there, but, you know, you just have to be so careful of, and I'm sure the medicos were all over this, but
yeah.
He looked sore. He looked battered. He looked bruised. Yeah. He looked tired.
Well, that's how he plays.
Well, that's how he plays, you know. But you just have to hope that, you know, they keep things in check there, because you wouldn't want to see him capitulate to injury, you know, too early in his career.
That would be the most crushing of blows. Let's not even entertain that.
Sorry for being
now,
so
Tony,
silly.
Just before we preview Carlton v Freo Saturday, 1:45 p.m. Etihad Stadium, a home game for the Blues. Kate Simpson is nearing the 300 mark.
Yes.
When does that game take place, and what sort of company does he join?
Well, I believe it's the 15th round game against Port Adelaide.
Okay.
Memory serves, coming up here. And look, what an extraordinary performance this is. Simpson will join, the $1 million quartet was in Memphis, wasn't it, with at Sun Studios.
Yeah.
Jerry Lee and Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash and Elvis. Well, the $1 million quartet here, you've got 300 game players: Stephen Silvani, John Nicholls, Bruce Duell, and Craig Bradley.
Wow.
So Simo will join that coveted quartet. He will be the only 300 game player at Carlton not to have represented his club in a premiership. And we were talking off air, Toe, weren't we, just how cruel a game of the game of football can be. That there's a man that's given his absolute all,
yeah,
and still does. And unfortunately, he doesn't have a medallion hanging from his neck. But look, in the annals of Carlton history, he's a hero of the club, the little big man of Princess Park.
Yeah.
How has he done it? It defies logic when you look at the physique of him. How has he survived? I bumped into Matthew Wright in the cafe this morning,
yeah,
here at the club, and we were talking about Simo. And Matthew Wright's coming up for game number 150 of AFL games,
yeah,
in total. And he was saying, geez, that's 9 years I've played. And he said, 150 games in nine. He said, how did he get to 300 in 18? He said, I've got no hope of getting there. You know, it's when you look at it in that context.
Yeah.
Matty Wright's only halfway there.
He hasn't preserved himself from hanging back and avoiding the contest.
No,
quite
no.
The opposite.
No, so that's where it's quite amazing. And he hasn't lost a yard. Like, he's still moving as well as he ever has done. And in the absence, let's be honest, in the absence of Doherty,
yeah,
I mean, he's had to really hold that back line together. And, what can you say? I mean, he defies logic. I think when you look, you reflect on Cade Simpson's career, you look at it and you look at him and you say, how has he managed to do it? You know, Carlton got him at a vulnerable moment in its career. You
is
know,
he a Gembrook boy?
No, he was Emerald, if memory
okay,
serves.
Right.
I think it was Emerald.
Yep.
They got him at a vulnerable time. They just had the book thrown at
yes.
them by the AFL, and he was effectively their first pick in the third round. But gee whiz, did Shane O'Sullivan get that pick right?
Oh,
I mean, there's
well
a gift
Shane.
That keeps on giving.
Yeah.
All power to Simo. Yes, the 300 game looms, and there'll be no man more deserving of 300 games than him, that's for sure.
Oh, man. All right, now Carlton v Freo. Freo aren't exactly setting the world on fire at the moment, Tone, and I guess the wild card in all of this is Nat Fyfe. He was suspended last week.
Yes.
So he will not be playing.
No, he's back.
Oh,
he's
is
back.
He?
He served his 1 week against in
oh,
the
I thought
Adelaide
he was
game.
Off for the bye.
No, no, no.
Oh,
no.
Damn.
He's back. He's back. But Michael Walters has copped a week for
okay.
a stupid incident the week in the Adelaide game. Freo had a great win there.
Yeah, they
so,
did.
So, you know,
yeah.
they will be hitting this game off a fairly morale-boosting victory over last year's grand finalists. So this won't be easy.
Mind you, Adelaide aren't exactly setting the world on fire
They're
either. They're outside the eight now.
They're not. But I suppose, you know, when you look at it, Tone, it just goes to show any given day, any team's gettable. So, look, it's at home. You know, with the opportunity coming off the bye to really throw everything at the Dockers. The Dockers, as I say, had a good game last week, so they'll be tough. But, you know, hopefully with the influx of a couple of players back after the bye, and maybe with the Cripper, you know, having save of the week's break. I saw him bob up in WA, went home during the bye to take advantage of those days off. So hopefully we'll be cherry ripe, ready to go, and we'll have a real red hot go when we take the Dockers on this week. Should be beauty.
As I said, it is 1:45 p.m. at Etihad Stadium. Carlton must do as much as possible to prevent that horrible theme song from ringing out of the tannoys at the old Colonial Stadium.
Yeah, look. I'm not sure who the songwriter was in WA when you look at the Dockers theme and that of the Eagles. I know it wasn't George Gershwin.
They are.
We don't want to hear it, Tony. That's right. It's it is Muzak.
Now, Tone, just a injury. You did mention injury. Who? Let's look at who's likely to face recall to the seniors, and then who, in a longer term sense, who we might look forward to getting back in a couple of weeks' time via the VFL.
Well, you know, if you look at the players that are pushing for selection, you'd almost say these are the forgotten men. So you've got Levi Casbolt, yeah, who's had that long layoff after that horrific rib injury that he suffered.
Kerr's a find.
Oh, well, see, crisis creates opportunity.
Yeah.
And there's another example of a player that, when given his opportunity, has really made the most of it. And that's, it's great. Patrick Kerr, to me, has shown a real level-headedness for a fellow that is as young of age as he is. And he's done some very nice things. And, I do like the way he plays. It's a good point you make. Levi is up for selection, we think. Probably all these fellows will face tests, I'd say. But Kennedy's another one that's, had difficulties with the ankle injury. And we've missed his presence and strength around the packs. Jared Pickett. Now, Jared Pickett had primed himself for the start of the year. He was flying through the pre-season and then suffered that broken hand, I think, or thumb.
Which seemed pretty innocuous at the time.
Session.
And then it was, I think the initial report said, I stand to be contradicted on this, it was something like 3 weeks, because some of his form going into the season, I think in the early pre-season games, it was on the verge of electrifying. He's one of those exciting players who could do anything. And I'm thinking, you know, it could be an indifferent year, but if we see the emergence of players like that, excitement machines like that, then 2018 will be worth something. Wow. And then to have that snatched away is yet another cruel aspect of his game.
Yeah, and he's a really upbeat, bubbly sort of fellow, so you want to see him up and about. And I think that proves infectious. You know, the players see him really darting around the packs, and they lift because of it. It'd be great to see him back in the team if he's, in fact, ready to go. It was interesting. I saw him on the track earlier today, Tony, and he's still got the cast on his head.
Wow.
Like all the covering on his head, the protective covering. But he was handling the ball, and hopefully he is not far away. The other one is Alex Silvani. Now, Alex Silvani's another player. You know, we were talking about Franklin earlier and that magnificent game that Alex Silvani played on Franklin at the MCG.
Yeah.
I think game number one at Carlton for Alex. Sadly, he's been, you know, hit hard with leg injuries. He just hasn't been able to get onto the track. I think he brings a hardness to the team that we need and an experience that we could, surely use. He'll be in the mix, I would say, for a return. Whether he plays through the seniors or not remains to be seen. In answer to your question about those that are still weeks away, my understanding is that Caleb Marchbank, Mark Murphy and Kieran Byrne are all still a little way off. So we have those three players to look forward to returning, but we must go into battle with the Dockers without them.
Yes, as Donald Rumsfeld said, you go into battle with the army you have. And there are known knowns and unknown knowns and known unknowns, and I won't go into that. It's probably not worth repeating.
Can you repeat the bit after Donald Rumsfeld said?
No, it's not. I think there's been enough kind of oblique military references in today's edition of the two times.
Yes, very true. And may I say, Tone, that you know we when you talk about greatness, I read with interest during the week the great Bobby Skilton is to be immortalised in bronze down at the Lakeside Oval, where he called the place home. He was such a great player for South Melbourne through that period of the 60s. I've often wondered why it is now, you know, with a statue to Ted Whitten at the Kennel and Jack Dyer at Punt Road and Bob Rose and Lou at Victoria Park and John Kennedy at Mulgrave for Hawthorne, that there isn't a a statue here at the front and centre of Royal Parade.
Where would you start, though? Who is the most iconic player? Look, Big Nick, he's a walk-up start, but who else?
Well, Bruce Dool would easily fit the cast, in my opinion. Jezolenko's another one. I mean, where does it begin and end? But, I've often thought about it and thought, well, if they were to do it, maybe the best thing, if they put a statue here at Carlton, the image that's sort of indelibly etched in my mind is that of Big Nick raising the football aloft at the last game.
Yes.
And I've often thought here at Princes Park, maybe that's the moment that you immortalise. Nicky Winmar, I think now there's a figure of Nicky Winmar pulling up the Guernsey to go into Fremantle Oval, I think, or South Fremantle, wherever it may be. But why don't we have one? I've always queried it. Why is it that we don't have one? Is it a financial thing? Maybe it is, but I'm sure there's a lot of Carlton people out there listening with deep pockets that might come to the party. We'd love to see it, Tone, wouldn't
we? It'd be wonderful. You'd crowdsource that. But if you wanted to make a series of bronze statues of Carlton greats, you would set off a mining boom that would make the one of 10 years ago.
Well, you'd run out of bronze, Tony. You'd have to revert to nickel or something. I don't know what you'd do, but I'd love to see a statue here. Maybe someone out there in podcast land is like-minded and might see fit to get the ball rolling financially. Who knows, Tony, but I think it should happen. Sooner rather than later, too.
You're right. It'd be a wonderful thing. Tone, great work, and we will catch you next week.
Lovely to see you, Tone. You'll be at the game, no doubt.
Certainly will be at Etihad Stadium on that day that I said it was. Don't worry, it's in the diary at home. I'll see you. And you will, of course, be doing your great work, which we can always see on carltonfc.com.au, the post-match interviews.
Yes.
And all going well, you're also filming the club song Players Linked arm-in-arm in a big circle, pouring Gatorade over somebody. As they sing the club song after Carlton's victory over Frio.
Sounds good to me, Tone.
Catch you next week on The Two Tones. Thanks for listening.